noticed a tweet came out from the CFL commissioner a few weeks ago mentioning that the conversations to add a 10th team on the east coast of Canada were continuing. We'll find out where they are going now. Commissioner of the CFL, Mark Cohan, joins us once again. Mark, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing well. When's football going to get in the Olympics, Mark?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it would just be U.S. against Canada, I think.
Yeah.
We definitely at least get a, you know, we're guaranteed at least a silver. But we'll go for gold.
Yeah.
We'll go for gold. I'm actually jealous. My older brother was at the game today with my nephew in Sochi.
Wow.
And he's going to be at the gold medal game on Sunday. The only dilemma he has is that his son is half Swedish.
Oh,
so he's half Canadian, half Swedish, because his wife, my sister-in-law, is Swedish. So I don't know what he better wear. Be wearing a Team Canada jersey.
Well, is your sister-in-law at the game with him?
No, she's not.
Well, then I think it's pretty obvious. So as the parent, you make an executive decision.
Yeah,
son, here's a Canadian jersey.
Exactly. That's what I think my brother's doing. But no, I'm doing well. Good to hear from you.
Mark, I saw that tweet and I wanted to get you on. Now, where's the talks as far as the 10th team?
Well, you know, we had a really good visit. This was about 10 days ago. Michael Copeland, the president of the league, and I went out. And we met with the mayor, city councilors, business leaders, community leaders. And we're just sort of laying the groundwork now, starting to talk to people, you know, telling them about what we've been doing across this country with stadium developments. Obviously, there's not a stadium in Halifax that could house the CFL team right now. So the developers there, the business community, starting to look at models, for example, in Ottawa, you know, that multi-use facility, which is retail and condos and office buildings, those are all things we're starting to explore with the city. So I would say it's at very early stages, but we're going to build some momentum, and I think the timing is now to start to really talk to all leaders in that community.
Serious, Mark, would it be 3 years away? Would it be 5 years away? Obviously, I'm guessing infrastructure and a facility would be the number one thing.
Yeah, that's a major issue. So as you've seen with Ottawa, you know, I started working on that when I first became commissioner almost 7 years ago, and it's been about a seven-year journey. I'd say 6.5 years because of the stadium project. And because of that, that's why these things take so long. And no, I can't put a timeline on it, but because of the fact that we're dealing with building a stadium, if we had a stadium there, I think there's momentum to get a team, but it's all about the stadium, and that could take years and years. But we're working on it, and I think that's a message to our fans. We want to see if we can make this happen.
Is there any other option other than, you know, Atlantic Canada? Would Quebec City be an option?
You know, we haven't really spoken about Quebec City. The major reason why is because the Montreal Alouettes, you know, their whole territory is Quebec. I want to make sure, I never want to do anything that's going to hurt another one of our teams. The Alouettes, you know, they used to fill their stadium. They're now about, you know, 1,500 seats short every time. So I want to be very cautious about putting a team in a location that could hurt one of our franchises. You know, the reverse side of that is that maybe you create this great rivalry between those two cities, but I think that national dream that's been around with CFL fans for decades of, you know, linking the country from coast to coast with the CFL is what we want to try and pursue. And I think, you know, the history of college football and high school football in Atlantic Canada is strong, and we just think we can grow it out there.
The schedule this year, Mark, I noticed there's not like it was the last time when the league had nine teams, a lot of two games in 5 days. It seems like it's just everybody gets two byes. There's nine teams. There's 18 weeks. That just makes it easier. How did you go about deciding who gets byes earlier and late in the year? Was it just about availability, or was there anything about seniority in that?
You know, there's nothing with seniority. We look at this and, you know, my job as commissioner really is to be agnostic. You know, no team should have one, you know, benefit over another team. But we did look at certain things. You know, for example, Hamilton won't be in their stadium until the end of July. So give them a bye early on. I mean, there's certain things that we did do because of the schedule and because of the issue of opening up two new buildings this year. But on a whole, you know, there's so many different factors that go in. And because of the ninth team, because of the two new stadiums and, you know, having to push those into later in July, it was a complicated process. But I think in the end, our teams were pretty happy with the schedule.
What other rule changes? I know the last few years you guys have opened them up to the fans to suggest any rule changes. Is that going to happen again, Mark? Will we see any changes to the rules this year?
You know, our rules committee is going to be meeting in mid-March at our CFL combine. You know, we have the CFL. We have a regional combine where it's going to be in Edmonton, which is the first time we did it was last year. We'll have another regional combine in Quebec, and then we're doing, obviously, the one in Toronto in mid-March, about the third week in March. And that's when our rules committee gets together. They're looking at some interesting things. I mean, primarily, one of the things they want to look at is instant replay. And challenges and, you know, pass interference and whether we would allow a coach to use a challenge on a pass interference play. And that's more of a judgment call. So it's something that we're contemplating. It's something that I think is very progressive. It's something that no other league has looked at, and it's something that we're thinking about. We're not sure whether that will be passed, but it's something that's on the table.
Now, The risk on that is because the pass interference at times for the official, Mark, the guy in the booth, because sometimes it's not necessarily the play on the ball. It was what happened, you know, past the 5-yard line, per se, right? How would there have to be defined rules on what they were challenging?
Yeah, and that's why I think it's complicated. So Okay. That's why we're having this conversation. Glenn Johnson, who's our head of officiating, is talking to all of our officials, or talking to our head coaches, talking to the GMs, and trying to really think through this. So I'm not sure if that's going to pass, but I think what it is showing is that we're really trying to think through how do we use technology to make our game better. I mean, that is one of the plays that I think our fans get most frustrated with, and it's probably one of the hardest calls to make. So it's something that we're considering.
Mark Cohan, Commissioner of the CFL, joins us. You talk about technology, Mark, and today's fan loves to know as much as they can about the league all the time. Now, I understand why, you know, and I'm a big fan of not having the salaries public. I don't think that's necessary. But the contract length, I think, would really help for fans. Have you guys looked at having, you know, like CFL site that fans could go to that would update the status of contracts and players, not money, but when their contracts were ending, so they could have more engaging conversations about, oh, because last year everybody talked about, well, Zach Collaros obviously was going to be a guy who would be free, but most people didn't know he was a free agent until late in the season. Because that allows your fans to have more conversations about your team, even in the off season.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's an interesting question because, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do as part of our 5-year plan is we talk about this internally, but our aim is to continue to be authentic, you know, be part of Canada, be accessible, you know, be rooted in who we are as a great Canadian institution. The next one is being innovative. So what are the things that we can come up with? Like the Grey Cup Fan March. You know, we were the first professional sports league to ever allow their fans to carry their championship trophy. And then be modern. And the modern question is, like, what are the things that we don't do that other leagues do? An example of that is, you know, explain, you know, the terms on contracts, the value of contracts. And, you know, I don't think we're there yet, but I do believe that we want to start challenging ourselves to start to think about those things because – you're right. I think it does create more interest with our fans. I don't think it creates any disadvantage, you know, or advantages of one team over another. You know, everyone knows when someone's a free agent in terms of whether you're a GM. They know all the terms and deal points. So I think when we think about this, those are things that we want to start to push. I don't have a horizon for that, but I think it's a thing that we should be pushing our organizations to do.
And I understand why the players don't want contracts, because unfortunately some people value people based on their money, not their ability, and I despise it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's hurt hockey at times where you see a contract of a player and their expectations are now based on what he's making, not on what he's doing on the field. So I understand why the money's not there, but the terms, any reason why the organizations have been hesitant to want that out publicly?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't had, you know, those conversations, but I think it's something that, you know, I'm open to with our football people to sort of challenge it and talk about it and see if there's any, you know, hesitation on that. But I understand your point, and I think it's probably a good point to raise with our guys.
And what about the protected list? Because I think that would be another outstanding, you know, and that has nothing to do with contracts. Just here's our 25 guys. I know it changes all the time. Like, that's constant communication with your fans. And I know how fans are nowadays. I look at the analytics of hockey and all these different sites that are up there. And the fans love that stuff, Mark. Like, they like, hey, there's this guy in college. And, man, I might now watch Michigan State because this defensive lineman's on the Edmonton Eskimos protected list, for instance.
Yeah, and, you know, I think when I get back to the concept of us being more modern, I'm in favor of those type of things. And I think, you know, now, you know, we've been focused on so many big things. These are sort of tactical things that I think that we can really start to focus on, because I think you're right. You know, as we start to see more college football from the States, whether, you know, that's, you know, the games you see on TSN or CBS from the States, we do want to see that those players say, oh, that's an interesting player. Our guys should start following him. Now, I think the only thing and the only hesitation that some of our GMs have was that, is it going to create expectations? You know, because that player who could be on this may never, ever come up here.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it is an interesting dialogue to have. Say, oh, wow, there's a potential. I should start tracking that guy.
Yeah, because to me, it's almost like your draft picks, essentially, in a different type of way, because there's a lot of guys who get drafted in the NHL that never end up playing in the NHL. But the fans love talking about maybe they'll come to the NHL.
Yeah, I think that's true. So, again, you know, I'm glad you're pushing me, because I think those are things that, you know, as we think about being more progressive, I like those type of initiatives.
And one other one, you have a big TV partner in TSN, of course, and everybody knows that they're not going to be as involved in hockey moving forward as they have been. You don't have a ton of crossover in the season, really, other than, you know, October and November, Mark. But have you had communications? Is this an opportunity to see even more of an insight into CFL?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think that you got some inside information. I just literally had a full day of meetings with all the people from TSN and RDS, you know, from the president on down. And, you know, clearly we think this is a bigger opportunity for our league. You know, football is, you know, the home of football with CFL football and the NFL is clearly TSN. And I think we have an opportunity to do more and more with them and with the Bell family. And I think you'll see more and more of that coming out, and we want to be progressive with them, and they realize, you know, how important we are as a partner. And you know, I think we are going to start to see more and more things coming out of them that really focuses on our game, the three down game, but also football in general.
Mark Cohan, commissioner of the CFL, joins us. Mark, the new facilities you talked about, Winnipeg, I guess give me your thoughts on the new facilities and how that will improve your league overall in your mind.
Well, you know, I think it's great. Obviously, the Winnipeg facility is a wonderful building. You know, obviously the team had a tough year on the field, but, you know, it's a great social experience. And I think that's the thing that, you know, we have to do as a league. We are still a great gate-driven league. Regardless of our new television deal with TSN, we need to get our fans into the stands. And those new buildings attract people. I mean, when you go to Winnipeg and you see the Rum Hut or the Rum Shack that's there, and 3,000 young people in their 20s are there because they want the social experience. They want to sit and watch the game and be with their friends. You know, that's what football is all about. You can't replicate that on television. Obviously, you can get more stats and information, but we have to give that to the fans in the stadium. So the new stadium, the Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton, TD Place in Ottawa, these are going to be great venues for people to come with their friends, come with their grandfathers, come with their little kids, come with their buddies, come with their girlfriends. And have a great social experience, because nothing can replace live sport. And, you know, people talk about it on television, but you really want to be in an environment where you're enjoying it, you know, live. And I think that's exciting for us. It's a, you know, it's a new generation of fans with these new stadiums that are coming on board.
Mark, always good to catch up with you, and go Canada on Sunday for sure.
Yeah, I will be waking up early. I think you guys even a little earlier to watch that game, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah, you betcha. Appreciate your time.
All right, take care.